Checkerfin. Checkerfin.
Board was always in my head.
Checkerfin. Checkerfin.
Yes.
It's the education gadfly.
Sex Nationals.
Mike and Rick tell you
early college, high school. Pain and suffering.
Learning and teaching.
In your face. In your face.
Your word that they be preaching. Cause here's the education gadfly show. Yeah.
Hello, this is your host, Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, here with my co-host, a man who has a big birthday this week, Rick Hess.
Hey, Mike. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Why, thank you.
This is a big one.
They're all big ones.
This is a big one. 4-0. How does it feel?
Old.
Old?
Old.
Yeah?
Nah, not really.
Wait, I mean, is this officially middle age? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it would be. Except that I still live in an apartment that looked much like the one I did when I was 21. And
right.
I still play Madden.
Yeah.
And I still tend to sleep late.
That's right.
And I still get my best writing done between like 11:30 and 2 a.m.
That's right. And you got drunk in the middle of the day watching the Pats game. Right?
So, you know, it's hard to tell that my behavior has actually changed in any significant way in the last two decades.
But this is a big year because you turn 40 and you get married all in 1 year.
I'm gonna.
I think this is called, we're going to do a movie called Rick Hess Grows Up.
Oh, yeah. That'd be so sweet.
Yeah.
That we'd have trouble funding it particularly well. But, you know, on another note, Mike, you're feeling a little aggrieved. I hear we had some idea theft go down.
Well, no, you're right. I should feel good about it. No, you know, Saul Stern wrote a piece that's gotten a lot of attention about why school choice is not enough. He pits the, what do you call them, the instructionalists versus the incentivists. You know, in terms of people who believe that incentives are the answer versus people that believe it's all about curriculum and instruction. It does seem a little familiar to an argument I made a few years ago about the what works people versus the whatever works people.
Did Saul give you any props?
No, I did. He interviewed me for the piece and he talked about using my language, but in the end, he went with his own labels. So I guess the public will just have to decide which is better, those I words or the W words.
So you didn't get any props in the whole piece?
No props.
Oh, it's a tough zero life, babe.
That's okay. But you know what? I'm torn because I come down somewhere in the middle between the what works.
But if it makes you feel any better, you know, my reaction to reading that piece was when I wrote A Revolution at the Margins like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember guests just getting the living heck beat out of me by choice proponents.
Yeah.
Who, you know, were all over me about how I was anti-choice and how I thought it was a bad idea and how could I say that choice alone wouldn't lead to competitive responses.
Mm-hmm.
And now, here's Saul Stern, you know, among those kinds of folks who were writing, you know, Break These Chains and those books at that point, and now saying, oh, geez, you know what, we might have had this partly wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe it's actually a question of political economy and how do you do this rather than just talking about why kids should get to choose a school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it would be nice if for once people, you know, exercised a bit of restraint on the front end.
The number of true believers seems to be dwindling a bit. All right. Well, let's get going. We have a lot to cover because, of course, we're going to play a game of Pardon the Gadfly. And then we're going to hear from Liam some education news of the weird. How's that sound?
Hey. Works for me.
All right, Christina, let's get going.
Topic one. Rice University, which doesn't have an ed school, is starting a program to train MBA principals. Rick, is producing a lot of business-minded school leaders a promising approach?
I think what Rice is doing, I'm glad they're doing this. They got about $7 million bucks from the Houston Endowment. Some of this is stuff that, Mike, that you and I have been talking about forever, the need to kind of broaden the definition of who do we find to be principals? How do we prepare people? I'm a little concerned that they are now billing this stuff as, aha, we've got a new silver bullet, which is if you take people, TFA is a partner in this. If you take a certain set of people, you stick them in the business school, now, boom, we're going to come out the other side with a whole bunch of people who we can plug and play and they'll make schools work. If we do that, we're going to give the whole notion of broadening the pool, of thinking smarter, of bringing in new ideas, we're going to give it a bad name. So this is a promising initiative as long as people don't go overboard, about what it can do.
Right. Well, that's fair, right? I mean, this is not another silver bullet, but we should be open to experimentation. But let me ask you this, Rick. It seems a little bit like the KIPP training program. KIPP principals go to, I think, Berkeley's business school for a summer, and then they do on-the-ground training in a KIPP school for another, I think, 3 or 4 months. I mean, what do you think? Is this... I mean, if you have the business aspect of this, but you don't have the education aspect or an immersion in a high performing school, can we really expect this to have results?
I mean, I think the answer is we don't know, right? There's a bunch of kind of interesting models. So you got like at UVA, they're trying this DART in the business school and the ed school. They've got this partnership. New Leaders for New Schools is obviously doing some of this in its preparation. Mm-hmm. So partly the question is, right? So as I understand it, the Rice program is basically a 2-year degree. The KIPP is basically several months at Haas and then, follow up time and kind of tutoring and mentoring. The bottom line is we don't know yet which of these works best. We don't know which is too much, which is too little. That's all the more reason why we need smart, experimentation.
Okay, but let me make a prediction, Rick, is that a lot of these principals are going to come out of this business school. They're going to be fired up with all their executive training, and they're going to land in crappy public schools where they don't have the authority to do any of this stuff anyway. So, what makes KIPP so good is that it gives them the right training to be a charter school principal. Question is, what's the right training to be a regular school principal as long as we don't change the ground rules in those systems?
No, that you couldn't be more right. And that's why part of this stuff's always got to be about changing the environments in which they work, changing the rules, addressing collective bargaining agreements, statutes, this kind of stuff.
We're just singing the same tune, Rick.
Yo, baby.
All right, Christina.
Boring. Next. New York City is going to be recording data on individual students' performance and then use that information to evaluate teachers. Deputy Schools Chancellor Chris Cerf implied in a recent New York Times article that the data should be shared with the public. Good idea?
No, that is not a good idea. Poor Chris. Who knows what he really meant? He got quoted in a newspaper article, and sometimes you get quoted out of context. But it certainly sounded like from his quote that he thought it would be great if this information was given to everybody in New York City, specifically information about how much progress students were making over the course of a year in a given teacher's classroom. Now, that is great information to use to evaluate teachers, to be given to a principal, to give to the teacher. They'll probably find out some things that they didn't know before about which of their students are making progress, which aren't, which skills and domains are they doing well in and which are they not. But that information is really information used by management. I don't believe this is a right to know thing for parents, because it's going to be taken out of context and that could lead to all kinds of problems.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's right. I mean, I don't think what Mike's saying for a second, and what I'm certainly not saying, is not that, people shouldn't know this data. Principals should know this data. Assistant principals should know this data. Department chairs should know this data. And this stuff should factor into hiring. It should factor into compensation. It should factor in. However, for the same reason that I'm not probably well equipped to look to have, patient treatment information for every nurse and doctor at my local hospital posted on the web, and then in the notion that I can use that to make sensible determinations about who I ought to try to see or which doctor should treat me for a particular ill. The fact is that I don't think individual parents in New York City or anywhere else are in a position to make much use of this kind of data. There's a lot of factors that come into play. There's a lot of technical corrections that are necessary to, make use of this information in any case. Bill Sanders has, written about this ad nauseum in technical documents. And so I think it's just important to be aware of that.
Wait, Rick, I believe Kobe would like to make a toast.
Oh,
yes.
Kobe, what do you have? Yes. What do you have, baby?
Yeah. Trying to get our attention about something? Oh, that was the bell. That was, I see.
You're not toasting, Cobes?
He's, yes.
It might take a couple weeks to work out all the kinks in this new spanking new podcast studio. So
okay, we don't have a bell.
No toast?
Maybe we could find.
What about Chris Cerf? That's right. I mean, I think we could toast Chris Cerf.
You could toast Rick's birthday. This is worth celebrating.
You know what? Even if it's one, it's entirely possible he's misquoted. Two, even if even if we're disagreeing, I mean, I think one of the nice things about the Klein administration is even when I disagree with particulars, they're always pushing the ball in the right direction.
Yeah.
And, much rather have a district official pushing too hard on getting this data out there than not hard enough.
Well said. Last one. Dallas, where lunch ladies steal pastries, doesn't allow its teachers to give any student a grade lower than 50%, even if the student does no work. Is this policy on crack?
Yes.
Yes. Next question. Now, this is an outrage, Rick. I cannot. And supposedly there are districts all over Texas, and who knows, perhaps all over the country, where this is their policy, that on any given assignment, you cannot give lower than a 50, with the idea that if you give a student a zero on a big assignment, you know, it'll tank their entire semester. They'll never have a chance of getting higher than an F. But come on, what happened to some standards here?
Well, the flip side of this is, I mean, given the 50, you know, I mean, I think it's a kind of a dumb policy, but that's probably because this doesn't really mean anything. If you're a teacher, you can weight assignments however you want. So if you're going to give zeros, you can simply weight those zeros real, you know, a very low degree. You can weight 50s at a big degree. At some level, it's all a fiction.
It's all fiction. Well, here's what's not a fiction, Rick, is that we need higher standards. And it was interesting.
But how does a standard tell anything about standards?
Well, look, I mean, the assumption is here that the reason they have a school board policy about this is because they're assuming there is no weighting going on, that every assignment is counting the same.
Well, you know, so for instance, you know, I assume they still have, the C grade requirement to play in Texas. I believe that's still in place, isn't it? Right, one argument is it's kind of the NCLB effect, that if you create these expectations and you need to get a C, then you create an incentive to kind of inflate these things.
It's always about incentives with you, isn't it?
It's always incentives, baby.
Yeah, but what was interesting in Dallas is it's actually the teachers' union that is standing up and fighting this because they feel like their teachers are now being held accountable for student achievement. They've got a pay-for-performance plan. So they want their students to learn as much as they can. They believe that that means students have got to work hard because that's a big factor in how much students learn. And they don't like this policy because it makes it seem to, you know, to the students they don't have to work as hard.
Incentives, baby.
Okay. Now toast, Liam has a toast. Yes, Liam.
To Chris Cerf.
Late in the game,
the best of men.
Liam, do you have any idea who Chris Cerf is?
Yeah, he called in once.
Oh, yes, he did. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you talk to him?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Good looking man, too.
Yeah, he called in the show, not just to the Fordham Foundation.
He was on the show.
Yeah, I know. I remember rebutting something that we had said.
He's got some nice shirts.
Is that right?
I think so. He always seems to dress well.
And no, yet, comment on my new shirt.
You look good
today.
In pink vertical stripes. You Thank do. You. But Thank I'm you. Just saying, sir, I think it's those former Edison guys, Chubbs, or all those guys. They know how to present. Mm-hmm. Joe Keeney, too.
Okay, well, now it is that special time. The time that we wait for all week long. Education news of the weird time. With our special correspondent, Liam Julian. Liam, what's weird this week?
In Dallas, lunch ladies steal pastries and teachers give 50% grades for work that doesn't exist. In other weird news, according to the Khalij Times, the United Arab Emirates Minister of Education, Dr. Hanif Hassan, this week said that he plans to revamp the UAE's education system at all levels to enhance learning and also enhance students' personalities. It remains unclear exactly how the UAE's personality enhancement will be accomplished. One possible step is allowing male and female students to sit together in the same classes and even socialize with each other at school, which they currently cannot do. Forming classes with both boys and girls may enhance personalities, but it could detract from them too. So, a mixed bag. Hassan also addressed the problem of wasted money and advocated for using school resources more wisely. Quote, "The problem does not lie with the desks, tables, and labs. We should instead make the best use of the facilities," he said. He made no remarks about Dubai's man-made Palm Islands, which cost the government $1.8 billion. And that's education news.
So, about back to Dallas, maybe, because that was really weird.
Not a lot of weird news.
Not a lot of weird news. And yet, I saw a newspaper article this week about how in the UK, they're trying to fight obesity. How is this? By having obese students learn how to cook.
Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They're going to learn special recipes, or I guess, low-fat recipes in the schools. Because the problem is not the abundance of junk food around or, people who don't want to exercise or kids who are just playing video games. The problem is that today's young people just don't know the recipes to healthy food.
Does having fat kids cook more in school, doesn't that actually take you the wrong direction?
Well, I don't know. I mean, cooking, delays gratification.
I don't know. Right? So if you were already chubby, right? So we're dealing with an already chubby population.
Correct.
And so instead of having them take, algebra, Uh-huh. We've now got them doing some additional bakery during third period. This strikes me as actually a negative. They're probably still going to eat everything else. Now they're just also going to eat the croissants they're whipping up in third.
Well, I don't think they're going to be making croissants, though. They're going to be making, you know, low-fat.
Croissants not low-fat?
Rick, we don't know these. To talk.
Seems like croissants are legit.
Your New Year's resolution.
They should be low-fat, shouldn't they? They're not that good. Be? And they look kind of flaky and healthy.
Are they kind of buttery? Don't you think, Christina? Very yeah. Buttery. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe they're making no butter croissants.
Anyways, we're talking about the UK. They don't have croissants in the UK.
They're close to France.
They hate France. I mean, Liam, you've been to England lately. What do they eat over there?
Terrible, terrible things.
And what do they think of France lately?
They don't like them.
What do they have to say?
Thank you. I'm glad we can finally disagree about something.
There you go.
All right. Well, Liam, we had such an abundance of education news that we heard a few weeks ago, and then it just petered out.
It was 1 week.
1 week. Yeah. Yeah. That was a great week. All right. Well, keep looking. Keep looking. I'm glad you went all the way to Dubai. Maybe next week.
I tried to insert some social commentary into that one, if you noticed.
Yeah, that was lovely.
Yeah. Thank you. And I got to say, when I hear the minister talking about using the facilities, my first impression is nothing to do with like textbooks and labs. I'm just thinking of using the can.
Yeah. All right. Well,
probably that, gold plated.
Yes, indeed.
That is all the time we have for this week. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back again next week. And until then,
I'm Rick Hess.
And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, signing off.